Real families, real farms, real food. Welcome to Arizona Agriculture Connection with Maricopa County Farm Bureau. My name is Nicole Clements, Executive Director, and I'll be your host. Maricopa County Farm Bureau is the voice of agriculture in a community that thrives on the dichotomy of urban and rural agriculture operations. This podcast is a home for farmers, ranchers, food lovers, prospective agriculturalists, and those looking to connect the food on their plate with the farm that it came from. As we take an inside look at agriculture in Arizona, we will delve into topics like ag technology, policy, food preparation, and everything in between. You can find us on your favorite podcast platform with new episodes every Wednesday. Arizona Agriculture Connection is hosted by Maricopa County Farm Bureau and sponsored by Paloma Ready Mix and Materials, a proud supporter of agriculture and our communities. Be sure to subscribe and share your favorite episodes with your friends. For more interactions, follow us on social media, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn at Maricopa County FB. Now let's discover some Arizona agriculture. Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Arizona Agriculture Connection. This week, we're going to be talking all things sustainability with Brandon Clark from United Dairymen of Arizona. So welcome, Brandon. Thank you for being here.
Thank you for inviting me.
Awesome. Well, let's kick it off. Can you talk a little bit about your story, your history, how you grew up, and how you got involved in sustainability and agriculture?
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm born and raised here in Arizona, in Mesa, actually. Kind of one of the rare unicorns, I guess. There's not a lot of native-born Arizonans anymore. A lot of people moving here. You know, being born and raised here in the valley, you're constantly surrounded by agriculture. I learned the five C's of Arizona, you know, copper climate. Cattle, of course, being one of them as well. In Mesa, where I grew up, I was surrounded by orange groves. There's still some holdouts over there to this day, but was surrounded by farming out in that area. But I do not have a farm background. My parents didn't own a farm or anything like that. I just was always surrounded by it and admired it from a distance. I, you know, did all my schooling here, went to ASU, graduated with a degree in supply chain management. So a little bit of a different background than some of the other folks in kind of the agriculture and the dairy space. But I think what that lends me is kind of a different perspective on sustainability as well. And then being more tactile, more, I guess, straightforward to the point on it. My history before UDA, I was working actually at Boeing in their Mesa plant before I came here. So again, very different from ag. I was on their Apache program, so the helicopter program in asset management. So moving some helicopter parts across the world. Boeing at the time was not doing great financially. And so I was included in a series of downsizing actions. And I was looking for a job that kind of meant more to my roots as a native Arizonan, my beliefs in sustainability, and the fact that our producers and our farmers here do a great job at sustainability and taking care of the environment, being good stewards. I also strive to do the same thing in my own day-to-day life. And so really that kind of brought me to this role, and they rolled the dice on me. And I've been here 4.5 years ever since and loved every day of it.
It's definitely interesting to see kind of that journey, how you come without an ag background into an ag career. Kind of something I like to try to highlight on these episodes also is, how did you get here? How did you get to this job? If our next generation coming in is looking to do something like that, mm-hmm. you know, to show them that it is possible. And if you are, like you said, passionate about these things, like in your personal life, you can apply that to your career path.
Yeah.
And really end up somewhere where, you know, you're happy and kind of doing something that you enjoy.
Yeah.
And are passionate about outside of the office too.
Yeah. So no, it all translates over neatly, right? I mean, a lot of my career has been around engaging with suppliers, right? Being supply chain management. Our suppliers in this role are our producers. And so making sure we're engaged with our producers on them being that first initial and most important part of the supply chain, and then translating it to our initiatives and our roles with our customers on the back end. It's that part of what I do that translates over pretty neatly between sustainability, supply chain. It's all the same stuff.
Yeah. So kind of leading into that, sustainability almost feels like a buzzword mm-hmm. anymore because it's used so frequently.
Yeah.
So when we try to figure out what actually is sustainability, you know, at the end of the day?
Yeah. So sustainability, I won't give you the Webster's definition or anything like that, but sustainability really is doing good or being a good steward over what you have ownership over, right? So again, to the context of our dairy producer, the land that they own, the soil that they till, the animals that they take care of, it's being a good steward of those things that they own so that the next generation can then be empowered to be good stewards of those things that they will come to inherit, right? And it translates down the value chain to, you know, the customer care component and making sure that the milk that is being collected from the cows is of highest quality and, of course, on the product safety side is safe for human consumption to support a growing population nutritionally. So long-winded way of saying it's doing good of what you have ownership over so that it can extend to, you know, future generations and all those that you impact along the way.
Absolutely. I think that continuation part of it almost sometimes gets forgotten about.
Yeah.
Because the focus seems to only be on environmental sustainability. Mm-hmm. And we kind of lose the fact that we need to be able to continue in the future as well.
Yeah.
So how do we pair those two together?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So one question that we see quite a bit is smaller operations are automatically more sustainable than larger operations. Mm-hmm. Can you kind of speak to why that is or isn't true?
Yeah, so I think that there's a degree of validity to that when you're looking at, say, like on a net basis. So a larger operation will, of course, consume more water, more electricity by default of a smaller operation. Which is why when we look at sustainability, when we look at like those metrics, right, or talking like water and electricity, we do so in an intensity sort of way. So as a ratio of how much we're producing, right, which in my opinion is how all sustainability metrics should be viewed, because then that normalizes the baseline of being able to compare a large operation versus a small one, because you're taking out the variations in production and the fact that, like our processing plant, as an example, it's a balancing plant. So if we have a new customer that comes in that decides to take a lot more milk from us that doesn't go to the plant, well, that plant is still using energy and it's still using water. We need to still be able to reduce what we use on our plant. But if all of a sudden a lot less milk is coming into the plant, we can't all of a sudden say, oh, well, we reduced a bunch of energy and water because less milk came through. That's not right. That's not valid. Which is, again, why we do it as a comparison, as a ratio of production. So to answer, I guess, the question there, yes, if you're looking at a net basis, larger producers, larger operations will use more, but also they produce more.
Makes sense, for sure. So can you maybe give, for those that don't know, a brief definition of what UDA is and maybe what a co-op is and how that relates to the farmers?
Yeah. So UDA is a cooperative, a dairy cooperative, been around since 1960. So over 60 years of history here in the state, where a cooperative meaning that we're owned by our members being dairy farmers, dairy farm families that founded the organization back in 1960. And by nature, that means that we're owned and we're beholden to our membership and our producers, so that every decision that gets made strategically from the perspective of how this co-op is ran is led by those producer voices and that producer leadership. It ensures that what we do is centered around the farm and focused on bettering our producers' livelihood and helping them do things that otherwise they would not be able to do on their own, such as bring their milk to market, right? So then in turn, they can focus on what they do best, which is dairy farming. They don't need to worry about the transportation side because UDA has a full service transportation fleet to bring their milk to a customer as fluid milk or to turn it into value-added product here in our full service plant. That's something that on their own they may struggle to do, or they may not have as many opportunities as with the co-op and having the plant that we have, the manufacturing ability that we have. Again, they focus on what they do best, which is producing great quality milk.
Absolutely. So do you feel that the farmers and agriculture operations in general almost feel like this outside pressure to continually be more and more environmentally sustainable from consumers and the public, maybe because they don't see everything that's done on the farm and how efficient they actually are?
That's largely my role here at UDA, is to be that middle person of that producer voice of here's all the things that our producers are already doing to be sustainable. I mean, at the end of the day, farmers are the original stewards of the environment. They've been practicing sustainability before it was even a buzzword, right? Before it was a term. And really, my role is to tell that story externally to all of those that come and ask and really try and promote it and publish it. In fact, I just cut out a meeting before this on our updated stewardship update, where we report out, you know, those metrics and those findings and those great stories of here's, again, everything that's being done and conducted on a high level on farm. And because there is a lot of misinformation or just lack of information on what producers are already doing. There's also a lot of science and a lot of technology that's being employed to address some of those concerns around water use and around methane emissions, et cetera. So there's a lot of lack of information. And then, like you said, a lot of pressure from our customers to know more, because it's a trickle-down effect where the individual consumer is then putting pressure on the customer, which we supply milk to be sustainable. And so there's a lot of talks of partnerships that come into play where we want to engage with our customers, and where if they want to reduce emissions within their own supply chain, well, we can help service that and help supply that, because we're all a part of that.
Can you rattle off maybe a few fun, like, Arizona sustainability facts?
Yeah.
Like you said about the water recycling and things like that.
Yeah, man, you're gonna really try me on my numbers here. We have several, you know, anaerobic digester projects within the state, within our network of dairy farmers. We have 7 projects up and running. So those are very, very large, for those that don't know, very large covered tanks where you put, you know, your manure up from the cows in there. And it's anaerobic, meaning there's no air. So what will happen is that the manure will ferment, and then the gas is collected off of this covered tank and can be turned into renewable natural gas, which is used to power homes, fleets of vehicles, which is a kind of an exciting update that we've been working on internally here, is converting our milk hauling fleet to compressed natural gas, which where we can plug in some of that renewable natural gas and run the fleet off of the waste that's coming off of our cows to haul their milk. It's a very kind of circular aspect to sustainability that we can really tap into with a product that would otherwise be seen as waste. I mean, regarding water, our producers are recycling water multiple times through multiple stages on their dairy farm, whether that's through collecting the water through the flush lanes. When they're flushing the manure, they collect that. They will polish it, get it up to a certain level of quality, and then reuse it for a variety of different purposes on farm. We've got people that are using water-efficient technologies for their cropping, because many producers do grow their own crops. And so exploring ways of pivot technologies, as well as some automated sprinkler technology to reduce the need to have to flood your field. Rather, you can do direct delivery of water to some of these crops so that we can have less water intensity per DMI, or per amount that we're feeding our cows.
It's a lot of really good stuff. And yeah. There's so much that goes behind the scenes with that, that it's hard to just explain all of it, you know, in one go. Like, there's so much that goes into it. But I think it kind of provides this step-off point of a picture of what it actually looks like. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the work that everybody's doing. And I think that applies to not only the farmers, but the agribusinesses as well. Like, you know, you guys have the milk plant here, and you're kind of initiating some different sustainability measures there as well, mm-hmm. if I'm correct.
Yes. Okay. Yeah.
So in the co-op's work with the farmers and kind of assisting and taking some of that off of their plate, like the trucking and things like that, what other ways does UDA kind of help the farmers continue on their sustainability journey? Is that something that, you know, you guys are a resource for them as well?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the current landscape politically, there's a lot of things up in the air with grant funding that's available to dairy producers. However, in the past, there's been a lot of funding available for climate smart projects, for water efficiency projects, manure management strategies, things like that. We constantly have our eye on availability of those monies for our producers to dip into. We're here to help support them through grant writing services, through, you know, applications for those projects, putting together webinars, et cetera. And we get a lot of people that come across our desk that have new innovative pilot technologies that they want to try out in the dairy industry that would be great application. And we have a lot of producers that are very proactive in that scene of willing to try out some new things. So it's a constant conversation that I have with them. My door's always open, and I always reach out to them with different opportunities that might fit their specific operations. Because that is one of the challenges, that 36 members of the cooperative all have very different farm sizes, different manure management strategies than exist today. So one technology or one new pilot project may not work on all of the farms. So when new things come across, we try and we share it with everybody and make sure that everyone has an equal opportunity to be able to participate in different innovative strategies that can all tackle some of these high priority areas like water conservation and energy use.
Awesome. So you mentioned the natural gas fleet. Mm-hmm. What are some of the coolest ideas and new technologies that have kind of come across your desk that you've seen?
Yeah, great question. I mean, there's a feed additive that we're looking into that's industry knows about it quite well. It's called Bovaire, which is an enteric methane inhibiting feed additive. So that can help reduce methane production on dairy farms. In addition to that, I mean, it can be simple things and maybe not as cool. Like if they've got an uncovered lagoon, we can talk about covering that and securing funding to do that. Something that is pretty cool that we're in talks with the folks at Biofiltro about is vermifiltration. So Biofiltro is basically the worm farm where you can use different species of worm, run your manure effluent through it, and it can scrub, clean the water naturally and get that water up to much cleaner levels than as it would normally be when you pump your water into your lagoon. In addition, it produces worm castings, which then they can either sell, the producers can sell that, or they can add as a natural and incredible additive to fertilize their farms. So we're looking into, you know, again, innovative projects like that that exist kind of somewhat in some other states that haven't quite come to Arizona yet. We're looking at all of those as opportunities, and our producers are largely very engaged in a lot of these things.
That's super neat. I think from my perspective, like as someone who grew up in agriculture, it is just amazing kind of what we've been able to do technology-wise with taking those kind of the basic ideas, right? The same kind of ideas that we've built the industry upon, but how do we make it just a little bit better and kind of continue this growth through the time because everything changes so fast anymore.
Yeah.
So does UDA have anything prioritized sustainability-wise to help continue kind of giving back to that sustainability in Maricopa County specifically? Because you guys, you know, you're here right here in Tempe in the heart of it. So I'm sure you see kind of a lot being right here in the city.
Yeah.
A lot of maybe pushback on some things or different regulations that you may need to follow that maybe, you know, wouldn't apply to the farms that are in the more rural area.
Yeah. In our processing plant specifically, we're hyper-focused on, you know, energy use and water use, making sure that we're good stewards of the community around us as well. And we're really dialing into water reuse opportunities. We already do a lot of, you know, reclaimed water reuse on our plant where we have milk, which is highly water intensive. There's a lot of water in it. When you dry it, which some of the products we make is dry milk powder, you dry it, you're extracting a lot of water out of that process. Well, we can take a lot of that water and reuse it for other purposes in our plant, such as, you know, cleaning equipment, cleaning the tanker trucks, et cetera. So focusing on that, improving those processes are definitely things that we're very, very focused on. Being just a large industrial user of those utilities, we've got to be. And again, it makes also financial sense for us to focus on those areas and make improvements and find innovations in those spaces. A big thing that a lot of, you know, industrial users here in the Phoenix metro area struggle with is their waste diversion or trying to send as little amount of their waste as possible to landfill. But because of our dairy farms and because of this tight partnership that we have being a co-op with our producers, is we're able to divert around 99.6% of our waste from landfill. We have off-spec products, but we have byproducts that we can divert to either anaerobic digesters within our network, right, which produce that natural gas, or can be repurposed as animal feed for our cows. So again, the circularity story of something that would otherwise be used as waste and sent to the landfill or have to be sent to destruction, somewhere can be reused and repurposed to produce clean energy or go back to our cows that made that product in the first place. So it's a really cool circularity piece that without dairy farms and without our processing plant here, all of a sudden there'd be a whole lot of waste that we'd have to be sending around elsewhere at high cost, but also high pollution rates as well. So really proud of the fact that we're able to increase that diversion rate year over year tremendously, again, all because of our farmers. And it's not just us too. Dairy farmers, they're able to take food byproducts from all sorts of industries. You have California has a very large almond industry, of course. They're taking the almond hulls that would otherwise end up in landfill that can be repurposed as animal feed, cottonseed, orange rinds, brewer's yeast. I mean, there's lots of different industries that dairy taps into, or dairy is a part of their story, because cows are great recyclers of a lot of these food byproducts that humans aren't able to eat them. Well, cows can, and cows can get that last bit of energy out of them, out of those products, that without these cows, we'd be swimming in a lot more waste.
I think that's a great piece to think about in an area where Maricopa County gains 200 people a day in population.
Yeah.
And with that kind of just rapid growth that we see here, I got an email today that today's a high ozone day. And yeah. We think about how that impacts how what you're doing and that sustainability piece and that circular story impacts a lot of different other areas.
Yeah.
And kind of is just one piece of the puzzle to many different puzzles.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Cows are the OG recyclers. I think that's my favorite line. Cows, goats, sheep, they'll eat anything. And it's good for them too.
Yeah.
So that's, you're feeding their nutrition, but we're also keeping a lot of that out of the landfill, which is a huge win.
Yeah. And they're producing in return such a nutritious product like that. I've always said that nutrition needs to be part of this story of sustainability, the nutrient density of the product that milk is and that feeds, like you said, a growing population. We're 8 billion people, over 8 billion people now in the world. Dairy is equipped to support that at a huge level and provide that nutrient density that, you know, other industries cannot support. So it's all this giant puzzle piece that we're all a part of. And I think dairy is so cool because it plays such a big part in it.
That is so cool. So speaking on kind of that powdered milk product, I think a lot of people maybe don't know what that or why we would dry milk, because milk, they immediately think of like a liquid product, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
So what does that milk powder provide?
Yeah, it can go into just about everything. I mean, you take off a product off the shelf and chances are there's probably some sort of milk product or milk derivative in there. We do lactose powder. I mean, lactoferrin is in infant formula. And then, I mean, King's Hawaiian would be an example of a customer of ours where they're using some milk powder that goes into their product. I mean, anything from the end consumer is a protein powder company or any of the big CPGs that is in probably everybody's pantry, there's probably some milk powder in a couple of those products if you were to take some of them out. So it's all over the place, yeah.
Is that what makes King's Hawaiian so good?
Right? It's amazing, yeah, I know. I love those guys. Shout out to King's Hawaiian.
Well, that's fantastic. I think the dairy industry kind of has this huge impact and that sustainability circle almost of everything that's being done, especially here in Arizona, where we think every farmer and every industry is natural resource conscious. Mm-hmm. I think we're doubly conscious in Arizona just from the nature of the beast almost, mm-hmm. you know?
Absolutely.
And it's great to see a lot of these initiatives prioritized at the industry level and also at the farm level. Mm-hmm. And how that kind of ties together for the community.
Yeah, and at the local level too, because something that there's a lot of dairying that happens in the Midwest. The Southwest is not the Midwest, which is something I like to tell my friends, my colleagues over at other co-ops over in the Midwest, is that we have some very specific challenges and differences here in the Southwest than they do up there, and vice versa. We have a focus on water conservation here. Midwest, it's a dual focus of conservation, but also there's too much water up there at times, and where that water sits and what can get into that water, it becomes an issue of also like water quality with our folks in the Midwest or Pacific Northwest. So we are very differentiated down here, which is something that I think if anyone listening to this would dive into like our stewardship reports or our materiality assessment report, which shows kind of the input from our stakeholders on what we need to prioritize from a sustainability perspective. It can vary a little bit. We're really good down here about tapping into and reducing greenhouse gas emissions. We are always open to do a better job on the water conservation front. So some things can differ down here, and that's why some focuses maybe are a little bit different here.
That's interesting that you say that, because I've been thinking a lot lately about kind of, you know, a lot of times we look politically at agriculture as, you know, the United States. Mm-hmm. But in reality, we have so many varying regions with different issues.
Yeah.
You know, you almost need specified regulation for a lot of that stuff because it's mm-hmm. so different. And that's just the sheer size of our country and how diverse it is, even how diverse Arizona is. Because
yeah.
if you start at the south border and drive to the northern border of Arizona, you can experience three or four different climates as
yeah.
you go. Some people don't even know that Arizona has pine trees.
Mm-hmm.
So
it makes Arizona great. Yeah.
But just to understand that and see, you know, working on some specialized things mm-hmm. that are applicable to this region and how those differ from state to state, region to region, but even, you know, mm-hmm. town to town. And
yeah.
that's a huge part of that story that I think maybe almost slips through the cracks sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah, we focus on what works and what works for us. Yeah.
Yeah. Fantastic. Well, thank you for joining us
yeah.
today. It's been great. You know, sustainability can be a never-ending conversation, but
Absolutely.
Also maybe kind of a confusing one. So
yeah.
thanks for taking the time to tell it to us how we can understand it.
Yeah. Well, thanks for having me. And yeah, if there's ever a part two, let me know. I'm always willing to dive deeper into this.
Absolutely. Well, thanks, guys, for tuning in to Arizona Agriculture Connection. Put a link on the blog page on the website to UDA, and if you want to learn more about it, you can find them there. So stay tuned and tune in next week for another episode of Arizona Agriculture Connection. Thank you for tuning in today, and remember, Farm Bureau has a place for you. Be sure to subscribe, leave a review, and share this episode with your friends on socials. You can also visit our website, MaricopaCountyFB.org, for more information and to submit a topic you want to learn about. Remember to tune in every Wednesday wherever you listen to podcasts. A huge thank you to Paloma Ready Mix and Materials for supporting our agriculture producers and this podcast. Maricopa County Farm Bureau, bringing you the stories of real families, real farms, and real food. I'm Nicole Clements, signing off. Catch you next week.